Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Alan Cumming.
Christopher Sweeney, as I live and breathe. How are you?
I'm good. Guess what?
What?
We're back.
Oh my God. The tension, the pause.
Over these coming episodes, we're going to be talking to guests on a theme of trailblazers.
That's right.
Who do we think out there is leading the charge? It's the people who are breaking the rules and who aren't afraid to do it first. And we've got the most amazing group of people that we're talking to.
And our first person is the wonderful
Tan France.
Tan, of course, as you all know, is one of the hosts of the Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. Is that what they call it? They just call it Queer Eye now, do they?
They just call it Queer Eye now.
But, yes.
You know, it's not to be underestimated what Tan has achieved.
Oh, my God.
Born in Doncaster, is one of the only sort of very visible South Asian gay men on the planet.
I know. And he talks about that in the interview. It's really fascinating. I mean, culturally, it's a really fascinating thing. There were so many things he said that were shocking to me and also hilarious and also just like ballsy. What a ballsy boy. I just loved his spirit.
Wasn't he also like a millionaire by the time he was 30 or something crazy as well? Because he had that whole fashion business. Yeah,
he had all these companies.
I think I'm still working in Cargo Home Shop in Putney at the age of 30.
Are you really the HR person for Queer Eye?
I am. Well, I'm the unofficial HR person for Queer Eye. I would like to believe that I am, but Netflix tells me I'm not.
I see.
However, I still ensure that all complaints, especially sexual complaints, come through me first so I can decide if I feel like I was being inappropriate with someone. The answer is always no.
Are there a lot?
From people being concerned about my actions? Probably. No. No, not at all. Wow. We're forgetting that it's 2020. You can't say this kind of stuff.
We shouldn't. No. Yeah, no, you're right. But actually, it is a good point that you make, is that if you are a queer man, for example, I've noticed it in work, a gay man, for example, will be quite sexually, like, oh, he's hot about someone in work. And you're like, it's interesting, because you can't do that, you know, like you wouldn't accept it from a straight man.
Yeah, you're right. We do get away with a lot more than I think straight men can get away
totally.
With. However, just hearing the way you guys spoke to our tech person on this call really did surprise me, thinking, gosh, I don't know if I could get away with that. But apparently you guys can. Well done, you.
It was just I said he looked like someone that I knew.
And who was the person you said it was, though, Alan? Come on.
He's a porn star.
And you suggested he Google him, and there aren't just any, like, chic headshots of this person.
There are. I said to him it goes to the first page of the website, and you see a picture of him.
Yes, of a penis only. No,
anyway.
I'm literally Googling this person right now. I won't say it.
Brace yourselves, people.
The first image that comes up is this.
Oh, that's a penis.
Oh,
that's a penis in someone's mouth.
Oh, well.
I know one when I see one.
See, now, that's the kind of thing that would come to my department in
HR. Yes, I'm sure that should come to my department, or Chris's department in the Homo Sapiens HR.
I call myself the HR department. We've never actually upheld a complaint, but, you know, there's always a... I think it was also bad because I then said... from the waist down, which was also unacceptable.
Yeah, see, that's an example of what we're talking about, isn't it? We're all laughing, but it is true. If we were straight men talking about a woman, it would be absolutely untenable.
Shocking.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if I were the person on this call and I just met you guys, I would absolutely be contacting whoever it is that runs this organization.
I think it's if you go to alancumming.com/shop, that's where we... I'm sure there'll be a t-shirt that will express your concern one manner or another. Or buy some soap called Cumming, you see?
Welcome to my world. I mean, imagine growing up with a name like Cumming.
I know.
It's just people, and then always people say, oh, I think maybe your email went into my junk because of, you know, your name. I think, oh, that one again.
Oh, how funny.
Always, I get that.
You're reminding me of a story which was, I don't know if this will work in America because I don't know how it's pronounced, but you know the herb, cumin?
Cumin, yeah.
Yeah. Cumin, yeah.
Yeah.
So my friend's mum made us some something to eat when we were like 14.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, it's really nice, just being polite. Like, well, how did you make it? And she was like, oh, I made it with cumin. I remember just looking at this woman in the eyes.
No wonder I like it so much.
Did you actually just say that to me without even realizing? And I was like, oh. Yeah.
Tan, you're in Salt Lake City. What, tell us why.
You know, I used to visit here regularly. I was living in New York a long, long, long time ago. My housemate was from Salt Lake. I'd never heard of Utah before. I was like 20. And I'd never been to another city or a state. And so I came out to Salt Lake, fell in love immediately. Have you... Well, let me ask this first. Alan, have you ever been to Salt Lake?
Yes, I have.
Did you notice how attractive the boys are?
Very much so, yes.
Like disproportionately
ridiculous.
Attractive.
It's like Australia.
Yeah. You can't swing a cat without hitting at least 10 hot dudes. Yeah. And so... That became like my yearly, actually no, my quarterly trip, where I'd come to Salt Lake and sleep my way around town, and then on one of my trips, I accidentally fell in love with the person that I was hanging out with, who is now my husband. So yeah, 12 years ago, I decided to move out here permanently.
Is he from Salt Lake City, or he was just on the trip with you?
He is.
Ah.
No, he's from Salt Lake. Well, he's actually from Wyoming, but he's lived here for. Mm. Many years, and he's a former Mormon, and this is a really big place for Mormons.
Oh, of course, yeah.
And so it made sense that he lived.
I am fascinated by former Mormons. That's a funny. What's that when you call it former Mormon?
There are so many.
But is there a big gay scene there as well?
Huge, actually.
Oh, okay.
There are almost every second person I meet seems to be gay or at least curious.
Help out when we're busy.
Yes.
Yeah, I have a few friends actually who are queer and are former Mormons. That's a difficult thing to say.
Yeah.
And I think it's a really fascinating religion. I mean, the more I find out about it, the more completely nuts I think it is. And also, I think in a funny sort of way, I think the harder it must be to leave because it's so wrapped up in kind of, you know, this lore. It's very complicated and to justify it, you have to really go deep, you know, you're really enmeshed in it. I think it's really interesting. Do you know much about Mormonism, Chris?
No, I was just going to ask for a refresher because are they tolerant of homosexuality?
Well, can I give you my Alan Cumming's view of Mormonism?
Oh, gosh. Go on, Alan.
So,
yeah.
There was this bloke.
It'll be nuanced.
Because it started upstate New York, where I am. So there's this bloke.
His name's Joseph Smith.
That's
yes.
right. A couple of centuries ago. And then all of a sudden, he found these big sort of tablets in the woods which said all this stuff. Which became the basis of the Mormon faith. But they disappeared, these plates, and nobody else could see them. And then he started Mormonism. Is that basically it?
That is it.
Yeah.
here's my thing. Obviously, I'm not Mormon.
I would have started it if it was that easy.
I don't believe in the religion personally. However, every religion's kind of...
Oh my God, crazy.
Crazy. Yeah, yeah. Like when you really look into it, everyone's kind of crazy. But this religion, from what I've found, has churned out so many gays. Like so many gays. And I think this is the reason. They go on a mission. They go on a Mormon mission. You know how missionaries will go across the world and these guys are sent out. They will be sent with a partner that they call a companion.
Yes.
They will live with this person. They must spend every waking hour of every day.
And they're like 18 or something. The hormones are raging.
Yeah. 18 to 20. They're not allowed to interact with girls in any way. And so I just think, you know, well, if they weren't gay before, they've got no one else.
Totally.
They fall in love with their best friend.
Yes.
And are the Mormon religion tolerant of homosexuality
and
queerness?
As tolerant as any other religion would be, which is no.
Yeah.
That'll be a no then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So But how was it for your husband then?
He left a long time ago. And he knew for a long time that it probably wasn't going to be a permanent thing. He was just doing it to appease his family. And then when we met, it was very clear he was no longer going to be part of the church. But he is actually really glad that he was raised in a faith, because we have very similar upbringings. I'm Muslim. He's a former Mormon. And so we have very similar upbringings, which makes us a little more compatible.
In what way? What do you mean by that?
We have similar beliefs as to what happens when we die. We have similar hopes.
So he's not a Mormon, but he still has faith.
He believes in a God. He believes in God. He's just not, he's not Mormon. We had similar upbringings of, we weren't allowed to do certain things after school. We'd go to mosque. He'd go to church. And so we had very similar upbringings.
Right.
And also, he never really drank alcohol.
That's right.
Same with me.
Not allowed coffee either.
Not allowed coffee either.
But someone I know who was a Mormon, like, he got in such trouble because he had hid a coffee machine under his bed when he was a teenager, and that was like that his big thing.
Do you know the funny thing is, we'd been dating for a couple of years. His parents' family knew we were married by that point, and still he would hide his coffee from his parents. And I'd say, it makes no sense. Like, you're literally married to me, and you're concerned still that they might know you drink coffee. It's so not a big deal.
That's so funny.
Isn't that funny?
It's like, when I came out to my parents, I said, I'm gay, and by the way, I smoke, because I was like, let's just do this.
Oh, yeah. I absolutely understand why. I mean, I would lead with something much... I did something really stupid when I told my family I was gay, and... Okay, I'm just going to tell you. One of them, I told them I was really terminally ill.
No.
And they're like, oh my God. And I'm so sorry. I'd already come out to two of them, and we thought that this might be a funny way of doing it, because then they're like, oh my God, that's the worst. Cry, cry, cry. And they're like, JK, I'm just gay. And then they can't be that upset, because you're like, well, you said whatever needs to be... to happen to make you stay alive. Well, this is it. I've just happened to be gay. I'm not dying.
And how did it go?
I mean, my siblings are all really playful. We always find humor wherever we can. And so thankfully, we laughed about it later on that evening. I can't believe you were stupid enough to tell me that.
Oh my God, that is so hilarious. Wow. And awful. I'm just painting a picture of you now.
Awful, but I'm like, well, at least I'm still alive. Like, that's I ain't dying. I'm just not living the life that you thought I was going to live.
You said a lovely thing, Tam, which is that when you're coming out, you sort of talked to one person in your family, then got them to go along and help you then tell the next person.
Yes.
It's a sort of...
little allies. Yeah.
Like the Mormon mission people.
I know. We go around conveying each sibling separately. I honestly didn't want to do a family meeting. It was so not the kind of way I wanted to do it. I wanted to divide and conquer.
My cousin came out at my granddad's funeral.
Ooh, bad timing.
Yeah, he worked the room. He'd obviously told his family, but they had not told anyone else because they wanted to keep decorum. So then we were all together. And I watched him working the room, telling everybody that he was gay.
I've got to say, I like that. I think something else shocking is going on, because then you divert
attention.
Divert attention, yeah.
But watching my aunt's face try and keep a decorum while she knows that it's going on around the room, me and my sister just got the popcorn.
The reason why that is super smart is because your aunt really couldn't cause a scene. Otherwise, she's not respecting the person who'd passed away,
right?
Because she's not focusing on that death. She's focusing on something entirely different. I actually quite kids, whoever's out there is not out yet, wait until somebody really close to your family dies and then tell your family.
Or pretend you've got a terminal illness. Yeah.
Yeah, or pretend that you're dying personally.
You're terrible. So you've got a place in Salt Lake City that you've come to spend the...
Yeah. Well, we got a house in LA, and we were going to move out there just before COVID hit.
From New York?
No, from Salt Lake.
Oh, I see. So you were permanently based there?
Yeah. Ah. But we were actually filming at the time. We were filming in Texas, and we got shut down, of course. And then we were going to stay in LA for a little while, but it started to get really bad down there, and so we came back to Salt Lake. And there are many reasons I stay in Salt Lake. A lot of people think it's bizarre that I choose to come here on every day off I have, which is I have very few days off, but I will always fly home. I don't love the LA scene very much. I don't love the New York scene very much for my world, my industry, because then you feel pressure to go to an event and be social. Mm. And especially within the first few years of this job, I feel like the pressure is on to make sure we're seen everywhere. Yes. And everybody's telling you, that your PR people, your agency manager, go to this event, go to that event. Whereas when I come home to Salt Lake,
there's no events.
Nobody cares. Yeah. They couldn't care less. And that's what I like. If I had wanted this life my whole life, I think I'd be very different and I'd probably want to live in LA. But the fact that it's just like a bonus job, I come home as often as I can.
Because that's where we met. Remember, we met at that shop?
An event, a fashion event.
And I remember us saying, we were on the red carpet getting photographed. That funny thing you do when you're talking to someone, you've never met them before, and you're getting photographed. So you're sort of talking while smiling, like, hey.
I said,
does everyone tell you that you look like me? Because everyone tells me I look like you. And we had this funny...
The first couple of weeks of the show coming out, there was this campaign image that they used. And I would get almost every day, you look like Alan Cumming or the guy from Wham. not George Michael.
Oh, Andrew Ridgely.
Cool. He's a
lipper. Always one of those two.
Not too shabby then.
I can see that now.
Not too shabs at all.
The funny thing is,
Alan, the strange thing that the American media did was that they couldn't place me. I don't look like a white person, obviously, but I speak like an English person and. Mm. Apparently, a lot of race people don't understand.
No,
or a lot
they don't grasp that
don't
at all. Yeah,
you can have a brown person with an English accent.
Yeah.
And so every press outlet within the first few weeks said the Scottish cast member Tab Brands. And so finally, Netflix had to reach out to them all, saying, "You've got to stop calling him Scottish. He's not Scottish at all." But if you don't speak like Hugh Grant, apparently you're Scottish.
How funny! So where exactly are you from?
I'm from South Yorkshire, a place called Doncaster. Oh. Have you ever been?
Yes, I've been to Doncaster. Yeah.
There's a train station.
Yeah. I changed there, I think.
It's got the highest rate of pregnancy in the UK, or at least it did have teenage pregnancy in the UK. At least it did when I was there.
Is that coincidental?
Yes. I was very active as a teen. Didn't really know where I was going with my life. And then it also had the highest rate of sexually transmitted diseases. Yeah. So also my fault. So I decided to leave at 17. But this town has seen enough of me.
You said a lovely thing, Tam, which was, and I correct me if I'm wrong, but you said you felt like you sort of had to choose between being brown and being gay, that they were two things that you had to cope with. But I also wanted to ask you about one other thing, which is that did you also slightly have to come out about being into fashion? Because is such a thing that, like, you don't want to talk about because it makes you a bit gay, you know?
Yeah. Lying when I say this, I'm not saying it for dramatic effect. It was harder for me to tell my my parents that I wanted to study fashion than telling them I was gay. In my culture, and you're both from the UK, so you must know some Asian people.
Yeah.
We are usually forced to be doctors or lawyers or something in that academic space. And so when you tell them you want to do something creative, they've never known that in their community before. And so you're doing something so shocking. Like, why would we have emigrated to this country for you to do something so so crazy, so out there and so uncertain? And so telling them that was actually really difficult. Telling my mom I was gay was a case of, you know me, you know that this has been me my whole life. There's nothing that's going to change. I will still be the same person. Yeah, absolutely. I understand that. No problem. Mm. But telling her I was choosing fashion, that was a choice. I was choosing to not be a doctor. And that was a real difficulty. Like, she literally slapped me.
Did she really?
Because didn't you... But not to paint you as a liar in this podcast, but you've spoken about it before. But didn't you also not tell her that you went to fashion college?
Yes, I also did not tell her until I graduated.
That?
Well, so I was meant to study psychology. And because some of my other siblings did, and they were very smart, and they had interests that I had no interest in. And so my family didn't want me to do anything creative. I wanted to go to art college, and they said, no, you're going to go study psychology. So that's what I did. The first few months I hated so much, and so I decided to drop out. And instead, I signed up for fashion and went to fashion college and spent the next 3 years working on that. And then telling my parents every day, no, I'm still going to college. I'm enjoying it. It's hard work. You know me in academia. And then finally on graduation, when I was taking my family to my graduation, the others went separately. I took my mom with me. And in the car, I said, hey, you're going to be a little bit shocked when you come to my graduation today. I'm not graduating.
But it was the same college, wasn't it?
It was a complete different college.
Oh, my God. One of them was,
you're going to be really confused by this, but we're not going to my regular college one. We're going to this different one. Well, why are we going to this different one? Well, I'm not actually graduating in psychology. What the fuck do you mean? I'm graduating in fashion. And literally slapped the shit out of me whilst I was driving.
So I had to turn over and
slapped the shit out of me. As if I had told her I was gay.
Oh, hilarious. Oh, my God.
No wonder you told them you were dying.
What a big secret to keep.
I lied up a storm in my teens with my parents. Mm. And I've talked to a lot of Asian people about this, especially Muslim kids, saying, do you feel like you have to lie more than your Caucasian counterparts? And they're like, oh yeah, we lie about everything. Just because it's so jarring for our parents to see us do Western things. But we try to explain, look, you brought us to this country. We're never going to be Pakistani kids. Traditional Pakistani kids, we were bound to have some Western traits. And the ultimate lie I told my mom for years was that, so at 17, we weren't allowed to go out of our house after school hours. We would come home from school, we would go to mosque, and then we'd stay home. We were never allowed to hang out with anybody outside of school. We were never allowed sleepovers. And I was always a very well-behaved kid. I'm the youngest of my siblings. And so I was turning 17 and I said to my mom, look, you know how well-behaved I am. You know how responsible I am. I would like to finally be able to go and stay with my friends at their house for 5 days. Will you please allow
oh my
it?
God.
I'm about to be like an adult.
I'm scared of where this story's going.
And I was very persuasive with my friends. And so some of them were 17, some of them were still 16. I managed to convince my group of friends that we should go to New York my 17th birthday.
What?
And so we flew from Manchester to New York for 5 days. My mum thought I was literally around the corner in Leeds. And I spent my 5 days there. And we did that every 3 or 4 months for about 7 years until she still didn't know. She only found out last year when I wrote my book and she came to an appearance and I told the story and she was like, are you out of your fucking mind?
Oh my
you were
God.
A child. I was literally 16 when I got
there. Wow. And was this a kind of like me and my friend used to call it when we'd go off to like gay clubs, we call it a gay safari. Like, was it to sort of go and be yourself somewhere else?
100%. Because nobody would have known me in New York. No, obviously nobody did know me in New York. And so I could experience life like I could never do so in my own hometown. And then once I experienced that, that actually was the thing that gave me the confidence boost to move to Manchester, because I'd watched Queer as Folk within that year or two. Mm. I'd heard of the gay village that I didn't know was a thing before then. Mm. And so once I had a taste of what gay life was like in New York, I thought, I need to get out of my small town. I've got to move to Manchester and at least live some kind of happy gay life.
And where did you stay when you went? Was it a bunch of gay friends that you went to New York with?
No, there were 3 girls.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I convinced them to come to this club with me. So as a Pakistani kid, you develop facial hair and more adult traits earlier than most white kids. And so I could pass as somebody in my 20s easily with my beard and my mustache. And so I had my gray hair already at that point. And so we got into the club, no issue whatsoever. And it was a club called Crave. And Alan, I don't know if you know.
Crave.
Crave, sorry.
Crave. Oh, yes. Where was that again? I've been there.
It got quite craven.
Crave. Yeah, it was.
No, I don't remember where it was.
Do you know what? I think I just, I think it's still going. It's in the Midtown somewhere.
It is. It was in Midtown, but I don't know where in Midtown.
But I think I just, earlier this year, I had to come back to New York to get an award, if you must ask. And I DJed the after party. And I think the after party was at Crave.
Well, then you will know that in the basement they have go-go dancers. Ooh. And I was 16. I had never seen anything like this before, who are completely naked.
Oh, gosh.
It was the most shocking experience of my life.
Not the night I was there recently.
The most shocking experience of my life. I lived that week.
How funny. So so you went, did the girls get into the clubs with you? They couldn't, and you just went on your...
They did. They saw what I was seeing, and they left within a couple of minutes. They're like, we can't see this for much any longer. Like, terrifying.
Did you used to do that thing, which I used to do, where when I was like out with my straight friends, I'd be like, oh, let's go to this club. And they'd be like, is it gay? I'd be like, I'm not really sure. I don't think it is. And then as soon as we get in, you're like, is it gay?
There's not one straight person. You are the only straight person.
Do you know what? I've several times this has happened to me, that when I'm in a gay club with people who aren't gay, they love it because, if it's a man, your friend who's straight, like, there's always gay guys' girlfriends with them, right?
Yes.
And there's always, like, always straight men score in gay bars, in my experience, because there's a limited number of them and there's lots of girls.
Yeah. My female friends in Manchester used to come to the gay bars with me, knowing that they would meet cute straight men.
A nicer class of straight men as well, I suppose.
Yeah. Open-minded.
I always found my straight male friends got hit on and I didn't. And
Which really pissed me off.
You've been in here 5 minutes. God. I've been going around in circles in this place for 4 years.
You know, Chris, the funny thing is that you say it as if it's a past tense. That happens to this day and it's infuriating.
It is funny what you're saying, because we're laughing about, all the things you're having to do and say and stuff. But there is like a poignant center to that, which is that every time you lied is because you had to, because there was no one before you who represented. Mm. So I can tell my mum I'm gay as a white Christian kid. And they're like, okay, well, you're like Uncle Robert. But
I was always really jealous of that.
Is that the one who Lionel Blair came to his funeral?
Oh, no, that... No, Uncle Robert isn't actually gay. There is no Uncle Robert.
Oh, I see. Isn't it your godfather then?
Alan's just outed Uncle Robert.
Remember where you heard it first.
Well, no, look, it's about a societal thing. And with all those people I had ahead of me, so I think that it is incredible what you're doing now. It's you're being that person for loads of other people. And also, you said a wonderful thing about when people do come out and they're young, queer and Muslim, let people ask questions. Don't leave home. Don't run away.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
A lot of people get angry about that. Actually, I don't get a lot of hate anymore, thank gosh. And I don't read my DMs anymore. My assistant will vet them for me, because it honestly does protect your mental health if you're not looking at that shit, because it can get real nasty. But I had a lot of people who were annoyed that I was saying, don't leave your family home. Don't disown your family just because they're not accepting straight away. I do say it's going to be hard at first. We've had many, many years to understand who we are. This may be completely new for them. Don't let them disrespect you. I've always made it very clear. I'm not suggesting that we allow them to disrespect us. And that's a conversation I had with my family, was you get to ask whatever questions you want. Just do not disrespect me. So you're bound to be curious, and I will try and offer you answers. But if it leads to disrespect.
But it's a huge time of change for everybody. Change is difficult for everyone. And you've by the time you come to the point of being able to tell people about it, you've resolved all these issues that you've had about it. And they're now just starting to have to deal with them. So I think it's actually a very good point in that way.
Well, so Chris, you make a point that also is a little tough for people to digest. Caucasian people have had at least representatives within the community for a few decades now, in whatever form, if you're part of a community where they've literally never seen it before,
yes,
within their community, you're opening yourself up to a lot of trouble, a lot of anger and frustration.
And does that put pressure on you being among the first visibly queer, you know, Pakistani,
yeah,
South Asians, you know, how do, yeah, you put a box around that if you can?
It was the reason I didn't want to audition for the show. It's the reason I had no interest in being public at all. And then it was the reason why I tried to quit the show. Even after I started, the pressure was just really intense. I didn't know what to expect.
Was that in your, yeah, head pressure? Was that like people starting to contact you because they knew it was happening?
Nobody outside of my family knew it was happening. But my family and friends were like, are you sure you want to be responsible for this? Because no matter how you slice it, you're the only version of these people, this community. And so people will expect you to be the best version, the perfect version. Mm. And if you fail, or if something goes wrong, you're the punching bag. And so those kind of thoughts, I already had them, but people around me just confirmed my...
Magnified it.
Yeah, confirmed my worry. And thankfully, once the show came out, it was rough for a little while, but I learned how to switch it off and to accept the fact that, yes, this may upset a lot of people, but it also helps a lot of people to see a version of themselves.
Yeah, surely. I mean, my perception of it was this like tidal wave of love that came, yeah, for you and the other boys, but specifically, yeah, for you, I remember
it's because he looked like Alan Cumming.
That's what it was. They thought you were all Scottish. Yeah. Oh, that lovely Scottish boy.
Really, the amount of people who wanted to fuck me within that first year was just insane. And then when I'd tell them, wait, I'm sorry, my name's not Alan, they're like, oh shit, what a waste.
Come on.
But yeah, there really was an outpouring of love, and especially from industry people who were really wanting to support me because they knew how difficult it probably was. Mm-hmm. And especially people of colour saying, look, we know this can't be easy. We get shit for just being of colour. The fact that you're willing to say that you're gay and you're Muslim and you're South Asian, that we know what you must be going through. So the support from the industry was great. And I know people who are not in my position who aren't very well supported by actors and actresses, models and singers. They're not super supportive of each other because they're all after the same jobs. But for us, they don't need to feel threatened. I'm never going to go for their job. And so I felt an outpouring of love that I think I've been afforded because I'm on a different kind of show.
Uh-huh. Well, that's interesting.
That's interesting.
And so that's really how nice. Long have you been doing it now?
2.5 years.
Is that all? Dan, I mean, what? It sounds silly. I'm sort of going to say, what do you want to be when you grow up? I mean, you are growing up. But where are you? I mean, you've had this... Becoming a big television star around the world was like a bit of a left field thing for you.
Yeah, crazy.
So what now? I mean, obviously you're loving the show and you're keeping it's a huge success and you're keeping doing it. But do you have a plan? Because I sort of feel like I've tumbled through life and just
Alan wants a PDF.
Yes, I like a PowerPoint presentation, yeah, and a pie chart.
Well, if you look, come on, right.
Imagine if you pulled down a screen right now.
No. Here's the thing. Because I wasn't expecting any of this, I don't have a standard plan or a set plan. Before this, I had a full career and I had retired from that career, and my plan was to have children and travel the world and never work again.
Wait, what? You'd actually retired from it and then it didn't segue?
Legitimately retired. From fashion. I had companies that had become very successful and so I retired, and then that's actually how Netflix found out about me. They reached out and said, would you be interested in doing the show now that you're free? Uh-huh. And I had to clarify, I'm not free, I'm retired. That means I don't want to work anymore.
So how old were you when you retired?
32.
I'm 32. Furious with you. It's so funny. My friend Rob was here at the weekend. We worked out his dad had retired when he was 55. That's how old I am. And I was thinking, could I retire? Wow. Could I get a pension?
I'm sure you could. Here's the thing. I'm sure you could if you wanted to. It wasn't like I was Mark Zuckerberg, but I'm not a greedy man. I had enough to be able to live the rest of my life to be happy.
Yes, I could retire.
Exactly. It depends on what you want for your life. I just wanted a couple of stable situations and then chill.
But it's drawing a line in the sand, isn't it? You're saying, I'm not going to, like, that's the thing. I mean, if you're an actor, you don't really need to retire. You're just sort of workless. Do you know what I mean? And then you say, oh, a nice film will come along. You think, I would fancy that. I'll do a podcast, you know. But but you made a line in the sand saying, I'm not doing this anymore. And you wanted to have kids. And then Netflix lured you.
Yeah.
And so do you regret the lack of kids?
No. And the plan is still to have them within the next few years for sure.
Yeah.
But I'm loving this. I love this way more than I ever thought I would. When I finally said, yes, I will do it, and I will agree to the amount of seasons that you're asking us to do, that will be it. And then I'll be done after that. However, I've loved it so much, I thought I was going to hate it. Like, truly, Alan, you probably don't feel this way because you probably trained since you were a little boy. If you're not trained in this world at all, if you've never been on camera before, and again, I grew up in a strict Muslim household where you don't really take photos. So I was never in front of a camera. And when people would take photos of it, I'll be asked about of this one because it just wasn't part of my culture.
Wow, yes.
And so to go from that to then turn up on set one the first day, there's a team of 30-something people. You're the only person who's shooting that day. Everybody else does their scenes tomorrow. That is terrifying. I cried almost every day the first few weeks of filming. I would go to the restroom, have a quick cry, come back out, like, okay, where do you need me? I found it so difficult. Like, if you watch the first season, so many times you can see I've just had a good cry.
Oh, you darling.
Really?
But now I've gotten to the point where, it doesn't faze me at all. Right. Like, truly no issue.
Yeah.
And so now I'm loving it. So at first I said, I will only do Queer Eye and then I'm done. Like, even with my agents, don't bring me any other offers. I'm not interested. And now I'm looking at what else I could do.
Oh, that's good. Oh, that's great.
Yeah. And would you do a kind of, I know you have your Instagram account shaded, don't you?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
It's also like, it's to do with skin bleaching, is that
it's
right?
It's to do with, colorism and skin bleaching. I bleached as a child. I was bleached as a child. and many people in my culture are. If you're too brown, and I've got my air quotes up for anyone listening, if you're too brown, too dark, you are kind of shunned by your community that you won't be successful. You probably won't marry well. And so they bleach you as much as possible so you can be as fair as possible.
Where do they do that?
Just at home. There's creams that they use on you every day to try and make sure that it stops. And some people go to much greater lengths and it causes major health issues throughout your life.
I'm sure. Just on your face or your whole body?
All over, yeah. And almost everyone I know has been bleached at some point if they're from a South Asian community. And so I started this Instagram account to talk about it. And it's the amount of people who reach out from every other community, Black community, Asian, Far East Asian community, the Brazilian community in particular. So many people go through this and it really is sad.
Gosh, Tan, good for you.
Yeah, and amazing that you're doing it. And do you see yourself going more in that activism route by being so public and being so...
Yeah, we're actually working on a documentary, a feature about it to try and stop these companies from being able to promote so openly and to hopefully stop them from producing this product anymore.
Good for you.
Yes, wow. Absolutely.
Gosh, I'm just reeling from that. That's absolutely shocking. Wow. And what are the health things that you're still dealing with them? I mean, how does it manifest itself?
Thankfully, no. I only use it for a very short time. But other people have got, they can develop ulcers on their skin, warts on their skin. It can cause skin cancer. It can cause cysts on their ovaries. Like the amount of issues that are caused by skin bleaching all over the world is shocking. I wanted to shed a light on it because it's something that people don't talk about.
Gosh, I'm going to talk about it all the time now. I think it's awful.
There was only one other thing I wanted to say, if we've got time.
Yes, I think we have time on the agenda.
Chris, before you say it, yeah. I'm actually a really light-hearted person. There are just certain things I really care about. That's why the bleach is really important.
Really
I am ordinarily a very jolly person.
well, this is jolly. So one thing I wanted to say, which I particularly love about Queer Eye, is that it is so rare to see queer friendship on screen between you and the other guys, and the way that you, and this is probably like this is obviously it's a queer male thing, so I'm being specific, and there's many other versions of friendship, but how a group of men, the way they interact, slips in and out of masculine and feminine is something you just do not see with groups of men outside of Queer Eye. I never see it,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's, I love the way that there'll be like a feminine moment, then it'll go in for a masculine moment. And yeah. I just think it's so
refreshing.
Beautiful that.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks. We talked about what we wanted to do when we were in pre-production, and there were certain things that I just didn't want to hide, and there's other things that other boys were talking about how they didn't want to hide certain aspects of themselves, and one of them was that I didn't want to uncross my legs just because I know that people expect, well, if you're a boy, you would uncross your legs and you want to seem more masculine. I don't want to seem more masculine. I'm perfectly happy with the way I am. My family and my friends love me, and that's good enough. And if this bigot at home has concerns, that's his problem. And so I'm going to continue to cross my legs. If I want to hold Anthony's hand, I will. If I want to braid Jonathan's hair, I will. And that's what we all agreed. We weren't going to tone it down. We were trying to create a movement where people could see that we are multidimensional and we are complete people. And the thing that pissed a couple of us off in particular after season one came out was that there was the press would talk about how inappropriate it was that I would, Auntie and I are very, very similar. I love them all, they're my brothers, but Auntie and I don't drink, we don't go to bars and clubs really, we spend a lot of time cooking together. So we got really, really close during season one, and he's without a doubt one of my best friends on the planet. I love him. But because we're very affectionate with each other, we don't hide it away, we do it in every interview, like I will hold his hand on set constantly, we're just very affectionate. People would assume that it was a problem for my husband. They would talk about how inappropriate it was that I was behaving this way with another man. And I started to say, when people would ask me in person, it started with an English interview that I had, a UK interview. They said, is your husband concerned at all that you're so affectionate with Anthony? Is he not concerned? And I was so excited to finally say, how close-minded you are that you think that just because two gay men are affectionate, that means that they're sleeping together. My husband's perfectly happy. He stood right there. Rob, are you happy? Yeah. Do you love Anthony as much as I do? Yeah. Then can we continue on? Because you sound like a homophobe.
And drop
so
the mic.
It's really nice to just show a version of gay men that hasn't been represented before.
Yes.
That we can love each other without wanting to sleep with each other.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. And to show a version of being an authority on something that you're advising on doesn't mean you have to uncross your legs.
Yeah.
I don't have to exude authority here. Yeah. I can just be...
I know. It's ridiculous, isn't it, when you think about it? And you know, last year I was at my friend's wedding near Salt Lake City, actually, where Sundance is. What do you call it? Park Slope.
Park City. I love Park City.
So lovely. I went to this lovely wedding. There was a lot of people I knew there. And at one point, it was a friend, an actress friend of mine, actually, and her new boyfriend was there, and I was chatting to her. We hadn't seen each other for years. And I looked around, and Grant, my husband, and her boyfriend were holding hands as we were walking to the thing. I just thought it was the sweetest thing. And it's sort of, it's so unlike Grant. It's not something, he's not a sort of a hand-holding sort of person, but he's also very kind of reactive to sort of people's things and goes with it. And it was so lovely to see two grown men, one straight, one gay, just holding hands. And it was a very lovely, open kind of atmosphere. But you're absolutely right. Those sort of societal semiotics are so stupid when you stand back from that.
Well, also, I'm not one for PDA ordinarily. My husband and I don't hold hands walking the street. We never have. However, us boys are going through a very weird time. There's a lot of pressure. And so whenever I'm walking into an interview, or we're in an interview, or we're on set, they're my clutches, like Jonathan, Anthony, Bobby Caramo. I will gravitate towards them. I will hold each other, we'll hug each other, because it's a very intense situation. Yeah, and that offers such great comfort.
Gosh, I think that's so lovely. I think you're just great, Tan. I think I'm so full of admiration for all you're doing.
Thanks, my love.
Really, really. It's
been
an inspiration to talk to you.
Couldn't agree more.
Thanks,
my love. It really has. Thank you so much.
Maybe the next time, I'll try and grow my hair to be exactly like yours, and that'll confuse people even more.
Something that you hear a lot on radio and things, I'm going to call this radio, is people go, but they were so lovely, you know. But he really is.
He's like, absolutely,
he's
charming.
So charming, and everyone we talk to is. That's why we're so lucky to talk to all these incredible people.
But he was super charming.
He exudes like this simple warmth, and he's really, It was such a laugh talking to him, wasn't it? The moment we got on the Zoom, like when we met him, like we all started laughing straight away. And it was like, oh, fuck yeah, we need to press record.
Yes. Don't, excuse me, whenever you say that, I immediately look at my little machine and check. Because I've listeners, you might not be totally shocked to hear that a couple of times I have completely forgotten to press my button.
A couple. We want you to write to us. It's hello@homosapienspodcast.com.
Or you can do us on Instagram, as it were, @homosapiens, or on Facebook, which is @homosapiens. Do you have @ on Facebook? I'm such an old granddad. I've never done
people
Facebook.
People say they do say @, even though you don't really have it, because I think @ is sort of the universal language handle now.
@homosapienspodcast on Facebook. And win a t-shirt if you go to Apple Podcasts and subscribe and leave a review for us, because that's what we do. We listen to your reviews and we take them to heart, and we give a t-shirt to the one we find most pertinent.
And that happens on Homo Sapiens Extra, which will be next week.
That's right.
Time to bid you adieu till next week.
Adieu, adieu, adieu to you and you and you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Powered by Spirit Studios.